Okay, thank you, Miranda. Okay, we'll go ahead and do that roll call. Miranda Shake,
I'm here.
Janet Claire,
Here.
Esther Curry, Amanda Doherty, Betsy Mahoney, Jill Pfeiffer,
Here.
and Diane Yeoman. Okay. All right, well, we'll just note that we did not reach quorum, but we'll go ahead and just do some informational updates so everybody is aware of where we're at, and we can go ahead and start for the Q&A. So I'll go ahead and start with a share update. I am so happy to announce that the Aspen Project is moving forward with the implementation team with Bywater Solutions. We had a meeting recently and have gone through some of the initial process of getting the APIs and some information about our third-party vendors. We are also going to be reaching out to all of the member libraries that signed up for those reservations. We've also, for the first cohort, we are going to go ahead and get started getting the catalogs set up for those libraries. And so, with that, you should have received a letter explaining where we are in the process and the timeline. And so the first round of libraries will kind of be our guinea pigs. We are hoping that you'll report back any issues or concerns, and then that way we can kind of refine our processes as we go through for the following cohorts. So we're really get excited to get started on that. Does anybody else from the share team have anything else that they'd like to announce? Okay, then hearing none, I will go ahead and start with the explanation of our fee scale proposals and the need for our member fee increases. So, about this time last year, we started just doing our normal financial analysis, and the IHLS finance department did an analysis through fiscal, I think 29, maybe even 30. I can't remember how far into the future it went. But with the assumptions, just using, prior history, that we're seeing an increase of about 1 to 2% in revenues each year with the libraries that are based on a percentage of your tax draw. Unfortunately, we're starting to see expenditures also rising about 3%. Last year it was actually closer to 5%. And there's a lot of reasons, obviously, that you all are aware of that as well. And so with that, we're starting to see that the expenditures are overtaking our annual revenues. And so we do have a benchmark where we try to keep 3 to 6 months in operating cash for, paying our largest bill is, of course, Polaris. That's due at the beginning of the year. We want to make sure that we have cushion each year. And so we are projected to go into a deficit this year, which can be absorbed by our operating fund, excuse me, by our operating cash. But when we looked at the projections over that long time period, we're starting to see that we're going to start burning through that cash, and we will need to generate more revenue in order to remain sustainable. And so when we averaged that over the next 3 years, we estimated that to be about $240,000 per year. And so when we started looking at the proposals, we could have done like an across-the-board increase. We looked at several other types of proposals, but we landed on two, and they're vastly different. And so there's kind of under these two philosophies. The first being you have kind of this a la carte plan where you pay for what you need. And I think that that has been something that we have had in the past. That's what I'm calling the more traditional plan. And then we also had this idea of, as we're talking about Aspen, of being more inclusive. And so that we don't have these two camps or of the haves versus the have-nots. And this is something that was clarified for us when we were doing an analysis with our other LSOC consortia in the northern part of the state, that it really made us think about what our philosophy is. And I think that that has always been that we are really proud that we offer some really top of the line technology to our member libraries, no matter what type of community you live in, if it's a rural community, if it's a small community, if it's Metro East has some of the larger populations, if you're in a school library that you can use this technology and we can use the power of the group to provide that. And so when we started talking about it, there wasn't a very clear direction on which way to go. And so I sent out an email to directors a few months ago just asking, what you'd like to see. And the answers were extremely mixed. And so it didn't really help clarify which direction and which proposal we wanted to go to. The Chair Finance and Policy Committee has been working really hard to evaluate what's the best path moving forward. And so we've met several times in person, all day meetings, kind of hashing some of this stuff out. Also, of course, our virtual meetings. And then, of course, at our last meeting, we decided that we've narrowed it down to two proposals. We wanted to bring it to membership to really get some feedback on what you'd like to see. So the first proposal is, again, kind of those two philosophies. The first, that it's the traditional model where you pay for what you use. And so that is for based on the information that's in the PDFs that is on the SHARE website, that's based on your current year tax draw, that we're just projecting what that would be under this new model. The second option is a more inclusive model that would include all of the modules, the Aspen project, and for the Cloud Library. And so the reason we included Cloud Library is there's only a handful of libraries that are not participating on our publics. But then that way we were also providing that benefit to all of our students and to our specials and academics as well. And so when we were looking at that, we knew that this increase was going to be a large increase. We also thought that if we're going to do this, it might be beneficial to give you a better value for your money. And so that's why we were looking at these two different ways of looking at share membership fees, because if we're going to increase fees, then we should look at the whole, we should look at the fee scales as a whole and see if we should make changes. And so that's where we'd like to bring this to you so we can talk about it. I know that there were several libraries that were seeing some really large increases, and that's why I made a point to specifically invite you all to discuss this today, because we wanted to talk to you about what this might look like, or if you had any concerns, we wanted to be able to address those. And so, just to give you a little bit more information, the timetable for this project is that this is would be something that would go out to members for review in a more comprehensive proposal, including some things that we have talked about at previous town halls, including, what are other consortia staffing needs and expenditures and membership fees? What would it be like to go out as a standalone to Polaris, for example? So those are some pieces that we're working on. We didn't have them ready for this initial conversation, but we are looking at that. One of the things that had been mentioned in our meetings has been, are we pricing people out for, that they could go to Polaris, for example, and get service, for $25,000, and we're charging $35,000. So just an example there. So we want to make sure that we understand that piece of it. And so that I'm sorry, the timetable would be to present this to members later in the fall, or probably sometime in December, to have the annual meeting in January, and then follow through with the vote a week after. So that's our timetable. Once this were to go into effect, this would be the membership fee scale starting in July, and that's what we would base your annual agreement on next year. So with that, does the Share Finance and Policy Committee have anything that they'd like to add based on that description? Anything that I might have missed?
The only thing, Cassie, I would add is that, I mean, I guess across the board, if you're a library who is taking advantage of adding modules getting Aspen, having Cloud Library, that what you're seeing at the end is not as big of an impact. It's not as large of an increase outside of what was already going to happen in the traditional model anyway, as opposed to a library that was making more conscious choices to maybe not have telephony, not have Cloud Library, not do Aspen. And then that's where those libraries are being impacted in a bigger way. So that sort of clarifies why some increases are larger than others. That usually is the heart of it, if that helps.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jill. I appreciate that. Okay, so with that initial explanation, we can go ahead and op open it up for questions or comments or concerns. And so, again, feel free to put the messages in the chat, or you're more than welcome to turn on your microphone if you'd like to just speak.
Our first question comes from Ryan Johnson. We have, are schools on board with adding cloud? I know in working with our local school with an Overdrive partnership, there were a lot of hurdles to clear as far as providing students access to adult content.
So we do have filtering options through Cloud Library for youth and young adult. And so that is something that I think that what I have heard so far is still keeping costs down. Not necessarily that they don't want their students to have access. We do have one school that has specifically opted out because of the SOPA legislation. And so if that is the case, then they would certainly, we could certainly opt out. But it would not be necessarily reflected in the fee scale if we went to the inclusive model.
Our next comment comes from Jennifer Nelson. So, is it an either-or choice, all-inclusive or traditional? I don't need or want Cloud Library or Aspen, which means I would be paying for services I don't need.
Jennifer, that is a great question, and that is, unfortunately, that is the way the proposals are written is it's either one or the other, because the traditional model would probably be more beneficial for a library in your circumstances because that you're choosing not to utilize those services. With the inclusive model, what the reason we can't mix that is we're actually spreading the cost among the group as a whole, and so the finances just don't make sense because we would need to charge the higher amounts for only partial use. Now, that being said, we did try to, I only see Illinois Association in your title, but I'm assuming you're a special library. And so you might be surprised at the difference in pricing. If it's okay with you, I would be happy to actually do a review of your library so that we can see how it would impact you directly. It's good to sometimes see some examples.
Yeah, I'm a special. It's Illinois Association of School Boards. And I would think if we went to the more expensive model, we would probably drop completely our membership just because of the cost.
So using your existing model, or excuse me, your existing algorithm, which is based for specials, just so everybody's aware, for specials, that model is based on usage, collection size, patrons, and circulation. So it's a little bit different for everybody. The majority of our specials are just under the minimum. So it looks like that would be true for you as well. So in fiscal year 25, just based on your existing data, your annual fee would be $1,500. If we went to the inclusive model, so that's a 15% increase. If you went to an inclusive model, which would include Aspen and Cloud Library, the total would be $1,600, which would be a 23% increase. So that is something, because we were very aware that a lot of our special libraries, for example, don't necessarily use those services, the modules, the Cloud Library, the Aspen. So we tried to be very mindful of that and not charge you. I think we priced Aspen in the traditional model starting at $250. We're very mindful that those are not necessarily services that you would want or need, and try to be mindful with the pricing on that. However, I do want to note that with that inclusive model, you might be surprised that the benefit that your team might get from Aspen. And so I would certainly want you to encourage you to review that. I also wanted to note that In the spreadsheets, we actually have three different numbers. And so the first is the traditional model based on your existing selection. So I know you that you're a, you know, if you're a Cloud Library participant, for example, if you signed up for Aspen, I included that in your calculations for the following year. If so the inclusive model, it's just the fee that's based on the scale. The last option is what it would be for the inclusive to have all of those services based on the traditional model. So, for example, on, let's see, for your library, if you were to go to, if you just for the sake of argument, which I know you've already said that you wouldn't want to necessarily add those, but if you added Aspen and Cloud Library using the traditional model, your overall fee would actually be $1,750. So the inclusive model is a better value, though it is a little bit more expensive than the traditional model. It doesn't always shake out that way. And I hope that you'll forgive me for just using you as an example, because I know it sounds like the traditional model would be better for your library, but I did want to just point that out so people understand what that third option is. Sometimes it's exactly the same as the traditional model because you're already getting all of those services. Sometimes it's a little bit different.
Thank you.
We've got a comment here from Gail Lane. We did not sign up for Aspen. Do the fees on the scale you presented include Aspen?
For the traditional model, no. If you did not sign up, we're only using the selections that you have currently. On the inclusive model, of course, it would include Aspen. And then again, that third column would be what you would pay on the traditional model if you included everything, cloud and Aspen. And so we wanted to do that so you could really compare the inclusive model, like apples to apples, of what you'd be paying if you did choose that you wanted to see what it would be like to have Aspen. So we wanted to make sure to include that. One of the reasons that we wanted to have the town hall today, of course, is because we wanted people to be aware of the need for the price increases. We wanted people to be able to talk to us, ask questions. But also, we really, there is not a one size fits all for all of our members. There's not, you know, this is obviously the direction we're going to go in, kind of a mentality. There was no perfect solution. There wasn't even necessarily a great solution. So, and it was between these two options, there's in the camp of, again, these two philosophies, and there's people that are definitely in both camps and or one or the other, I'm sorry, that are kind of just where do we go from here? And so that's where the Share Finance and Policy Committee is really hoping to get some feedback on what you all think, because I think that's going to really influence how we move forward. Does anybody else want to have me do an analysis of their library in particular that you think might be helpful for the group as a whole?
From Annette Bland, we have yes, you could do ours if you would like.
Okay, so let me go over here to Columbia. Is that right, Annette? I get that right? Okay,
Yes.
thank you. Okay. Okay, so it looks like you are just under the $500,000 tax draw in that range. And so it looks like, let me go pull my screen up here. It looks like you also participate in Cloud Library. And with the traditional model, not including Aspen, since we don't have that you signed up, it looks like your total, based on this last year's data, but using this new model, your fee would be $10,332.60. That's an 18% increase under the traditional model. If we went to the inclusive model, It's a little bit higher, and so your total would be $11,122.25, which is actually a 27% increase. But if we looked at the again, like kind of that apples to apples model, if you did choose to use excuse me, if you did choose to select Aspen, it would be $11,332. So it's a little bit less. It's not a dramatic decrease on the inclusive model, but it is a little bit less. If you were thinking about Aspen, that might be a good value for you because it would include that.
Our next comment comes from Donna Shaw. Did the committee look at decreasing the deficit? In the public libraries, we often have to make tough choices to balance our budgets. The personnel line is usually the highest line in a budget. Have decreases to personnel been discussed?
Yes, so we did review our budget as a whole and then also talk about that very thing, Donna. And so we have not significantly raised staffing since I've been here. So we've been on a pretty narrow margin when it comes to our budget. There's not a whole lot of places to cut, especially when we were talking about trying to find revenue of about $240,000 per year. If we talk about starting to cut staffing, we start talking about cutting service, and we're talking about losing the quality of our program. And so that's something that was discussed. Now, I do want to point out that the Share Finance and Policy Committee had also expressed some concerns, because the things that you're looking at as a library director is like, okay, where can savings be made, maybe in benefits? How can that, how might that look? Salaries. That is not something that the Share Finance and Policy Committee, I don't want to say has control over. We are IHLS employees, and so that's something that's done for IHLS as a whole, not necessarily for SHARE. And that's something that I think that I want to point out because IHLS staff do receive very good benefits. We do receive, paid time off and things like that. And so we also have our salaries evaluated by HR Source, which is a human resource organization that compares us to other nonprofits and other libraries in the area. And so, with that, those decisions are being made on an organizational scale. We can't have two classes of employees, some for SHARE and then a different benefits package for IHLS. And so, that's something that is done for the IHLS Board of Trustees that reviews every year. And so I just wanted to make that clear that that's not necessarily something the Share Finance and Policy Committee has control over.
We've got Diane has offered up Mason City Library for comparison.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's see. So we'll go over here. Okay, thank you, Diane. So Diane is in the $100,000 range. It's kind of, if you don't mind me using your numbers, 169,000 revenue per year. And then on the traditional model, using that, your total as participating in Aspen as well as Cloud Library, your traditional model fee would be $4,638.92, which is an increase of 24%. For the, let's see, the inclusive model would be a little bit less at $4,346.42, which would be a 17% increase. And so you're seeing that increase because you're already kind of in, you already are selecting those types of services. And so that apples to apples model is going to be just exactly the same of what you're already paying because you're already selecting those services, if that makes sense.
We've also got an offer for Centralia Regional Library from Tammy.
Thanks, Tammy. Let me go to your library. Give me just one moment. Okay, and so Centralia is at $879,000 for a tax draw, and it looks like you do have some modules. So going into the traditional model, your annual fee, you've selected Aspen and Cloud. Your traditional fee model would be $16,376.80. The inclusive model would be actually, it's actually a little bit more, and sometimes the percentages would worked like that, $16,745.31, which is a 26% increase. So sometimes when we were trying to balance that out, it would be a little bit more, but that kind of just shows that we were really trying to make sure that everything was fair, that you'd be paying about the same either way.
We've got a comment from Annette Bland. Would Aspen also include not only cloud, but other platforms that we offer, like Hoopla and Libby?
Annette, that's a great question, and that's one of the benefits of Aspen. It will show those other platforms directly in the catalog. That's one of the benefits of Aspen that we don't have in our current system.
And then from Susan McKinney, she's offered up St. Joseph for comparison.
Okay. Thank you, Susan. Okay, Susan, it looks like for your fees, again, is right around 172,000, or excuse me, your tax draw, 172,000. So based on that, the traditional model fee would be also selecting Aspen and Cloud, $4,892.36. And then the inclusive model would be a little bit less, $3,907 and, or excuse me, 4,000, I'm sorry, I read the wrong column, $4,407.08. So it would be a little bit less expensive with the inclusive model with an 11% increase overall.
And then Gail Lane has offered up Carmi.
Okay. Okay, for Carmi, we've got you're also in the $100,000 range, or 100, yeah, $100,000 tax draw range. And so with that, your traditional model fee, and we do not have you down for Aspen, though we do have you listed for Cloud. So the traditional model would be $3,246.28, which would be a 19% increase. With the inclusive model, it would be $3,333.28. So it's actually a little bit higher with the inclusive model, but you would be offered the you would be getting the Aspen product as well. So that's a 22% increase. When we do the apples to apples comparison, if you included everything on the traditional model, so if you were thinking about Aspen, your total would be $3,746.28. And so that's using the traditional model. So if you were looking at Aspen, the inclusive model is a little bit of a better deal.
And from Vicky Carr, we've also got South Macon.
Okay, let's take a look at South Macon. So, Vicki, I do see that we have some the that we have you just under $100,000 for your tax draw for this year. I do want to note that we try to be very respectful, I'm gonna say that's the best word for it, of some of our smallest libraries, because we do know that the financial constraints you're under are a little bit different than our larger libraries. Of course, you know, understanding that the larger libraries do have larger expenses, but at the same time, we did get a lot of feedback from our smallest libraries that they were really concerned about this impact and how that would impact even one library that was kind of poignant, saying that if we did this, you might have to close doors. And so we were trying to be very, very respectful of that. And so when I say smallest libraries, I am defining that as libraries with a an annual revenue of under $100,000. So if the traditional model, it would see an increase of about 19%, bringing your total annual fee to $2,200. Now, this, you're a perfect example because we see some libraries that are already participating in Cloud Library that are only seeing maybe a 1% increase. We even had one at the town hall earlier today where the inclusive model, they'd be paying less. But that's because we were really trying to be protective of the libraries that did not participate in Cloud Library or some of the add-on services to not, you know, hit you with a 40 or 50% increase because, you know, we were trying to add so many things. And so we were really trying to make sure that we were balancing that. With the inclusive model, you would see a larger increase at 30%. And so that would actually bring your annual total to $2,400. And so that's where we felt like, you know, even though we are, it is going to be a large increase, you're getting a better value for your money. If you ever did decide that you wanted to include Aspen or Cloud Library under the traditional model, you'd be paying $2,900.
From Jenna Dower, we have, with this cost increase, will it be a one-time increase or are we talking an increase every year, even with such a high increase initially?
So, Jenna, the intention when we do this is to do it on a three-year cycle. So we're not doing an increase every single year. I don't know that we've made that decision for this particular cycle, but that is something that we have done in the past. We've gotten a lot of feedback that there was a lot of concern that these increases are so large, excuse me, that it might be better to do more incremental increases. So I unfortunately don't have a firm answer for you on that, but we are taking the average of the deficit over 3 years and trying to split that up between the 3 years rather than taking it 1 year at a time. So I would hope to say that this would be for several years, that it would just be a set scale. But I don't want to promise that at this point.
From Debbie Green, we have, can you compare the cost for our library, please? Thank you.
Sure. Okay, give me just one moment. Okay. So it looks like Debbie, you are, again, one of the smallest libraries in the sense of revenue, with a revenue of $18,000 per year from tax draw. And so we do have that you are a Cloud Library member. And so under the traditional model, your new fee would be $1,500. So that's an increase of about 14%. Under the, and we don't have that you reserved Aspen. For the inclusive model, it would be about $1,700. And so that would be an 8% increase overall. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong, I didn't include Cloud Library on that initial. So with the traditional model, it would be $1,800, which is a 14% increase, versus the inclusive model would actually be $1,700, which is an 8% increase. And then you'd be getting both Aspen and Cloud Library. So I'm hoping that you're starting to see that there's no one-size-fits-all solution for all libraries. I think that we just really need to determine our goals for the consortium as a whole, essentially, and where we want to go, what's going to be best for the majority of our members, for the majority of the patrons. And so that's where we really want feedback, because this isn't my decision. This isn't even the Share Finance and Policy Committee's decision. This is our membership's decision. What do you want this consortium to look like? How do you want it to function? And so that's where we really want that feedback as we plan to bring this out for a full member, the membership members group meeting and a vote later this year, early next year. So does anybody have any comments based on some of that or any other additional questions?
Hey, Cassandra, do you have the percentage increase for the traditional versus the all-inclusive? I know we mentioned at the last meeting, but
Yeah, I sure do. So, like, just as an average for the public libraries, it looks like the a la carte option or the traditional model, the average increase would be about 18%. For the inclusive model, it would be about 16%.
Hey, Cassie, I have a question.
Yeah.
So this is just going to be a straight up and down vote by membership, is that correct?
The way that I am planning on handling this, and unless we have a clear consensus from members now, I think that my plan is when it goes out to vote, the vote will be we need to increase revenues by about $240,000 per year, and we have a proposal to, the Share Finance and Policy Committee needs to make that increase. Do you agree with that? The second question will be, would you prefer to move to a more inclusive option? So the traditional model is the model that we use. All of those are official scales at this point that will be adjusted just to have the to for the increase. So that second question is, would we want to move to this new model? And so we're kind of separating out the model from the need for an increase, if that makes sense.
Sure. So then what's our plan if we have some members drop because they're unhappy with the increase, regardless of the formula, or if they're unhappy with the formula that is selected?
That is something that we would probably have to review, depending on the amount, I guess you could say. That would be something that we'd have to review. One of the things that I have been, and I think that I had mentioned, is what would it cost a library to pay for an interlibrary loan, or not, excuse me, not interlibrary loan, but an integrated library system outside of Share. And that's why we did reach out to Polaris to see if they could help us with that. And we sent them some data, but we haven't heard back quite yet. But they have been expressed willingness to help us kind of analyze that. We also, unfortunately, we do lose members pretty much every year. There's schools that close their school libraries. And so that is something that we see. But we're also increasing membership by standalone school libraries that are still interested in joining. And so that's something that we're doing with a new program to increase participation and try to help our school libraries get started on Share. And so that's actually a new, you might have heard it referred to as the affiliate expansion project, but we're calling it now TriShare. And I say it's equivalent to someone, at the mall holding out that, sample of chicken teriyaki as you're walking by. This is an opportunity for our school libraries to use us for interlibrary loans so they can experience the benefit of Share membership to get a return on investment to share with their administrators so they can make that argument that it is worth the money. And so we're really hopeful that that program will increase participation with our schools specifically. So that's an area that we are looking at as well.
We have a comment from Heather Gaines. How does this help the ultimate deficit? Is this just barely getting IHLS slash Share out of the deficit, meaning we will continue to see huge jumps, or will this set you up for some time? I understand you mentioned the 3-year cycle.
Yeah, this means that we anticipate, of course, financial forecasting is is our best guess, but we do anticipate that this would make us solvent in the black for the next 3 years. Rhonda, if I am stating that incorrectly, I think she was on the call earlier today. I don't know if she's in this meeting or not, but nope, she says I am correct. Okay. So yeah, so that's how we got that targeted amount of the 240,000. We took the deficit over 3 years and averaged that out. So that is the proposal is trying to meet that need over the next 3 years with this new scale. Does anyone else have any questions about their specific library or specific concerns that they'd like for either me or the Chair Finance and Policy Committee to review? Or initial thoughts based on the two models that you've seen, if there's one that you prefer over the other?
Hey, it's me again. From serving on the AgileList board, I know this came up several months ago as some board members wanted to see more uniformity in services across the member libraries. So I suspect that's where this all-inclusive model is coming from and trying to meet that request. Personally, I think it would be great if we had more uniformity across our member libraries so that residents and patrons are getting a similar experience at each one. That's only doable to a certain degree, of course. I'm encouraged that the all-inclusive package is on aggregate a smaller increase percentage-wise than the traditional model, so I'm hopeful that that carries the day, even though I'm sure there would be some outliers in individual libraries who are not pleased with that outcome. So yes, I guess just to put a bow on that. Philosophically, I think as an institution, it'd be better if we are more similar than we are different. And I think that all-inclusive model helps us achieve that.
And I do want to just, I'm going to peek at O'Fallon because I don't think I know off the top of my head what you're, which would be most beneficial to you. But I did want to mention that everybody on the Share Finance and Policy Committee is also seeing these increases. This is not existing in a vacuum. So I did want to just mention that everybody's going to be feeling a pinch of a large increase, some being hit harder than others, of course. And we do understand that. Let's see. So, just taking a quick glance, it looks like the inclusive model would be a little bit better for O'Fallon. But again, just I'm glad because it looks like we did a pretty good job of keeping them fairly consistent. It would be the difference between $23,721 for the traditional and $22,694 of the inclusive model. Amanda, I see that you have your hand up. Please feel free to go ahead and chime
Yeah,
in.
and I apologize. I came in late. We're getting some new equipment, an AMH today. So
Oh,
yay.
congratulations.
But how was it decided which libraries would see larger increases than others? Rather than, I'm assuming that there was a methodology between like not just doing a straight percentage across the board, or was there a tiered approach? And I apologize for not knowing that ahead of time.
No, that's okay. And Amanda, we didn't go over that, but I can tell you a little bit about the process we did and a straight across the board increase. And it was not sufficient for revenue purposes. And it also was inequitable in a lot of ways, especially towards our smaller libraries. When we looked at the scales, we did try to be, again, very protective of our smallest libraries, which is defined. I was defining that as libraries with revenues under $100,000. And so, one of the things that Jill had mentioned is that if you are currently subscribed to Cloud Library, and you have chosen Aspen, it's going to probably be fairly similar of what you're going to see. You might get a better deal with one versus the other, but it's going to be pretty close. With libraries that have chosen not to participate in Cloud Library and they are not planning on moving to Aspen, that's where you're going to see the bigger hit. And so that's with the inclusive model specifically, I'm sorry. One of the things that I also looked at when I was reviewing the scales was what is the percentage of your overall tax draw for how these numbers are based? And so one of the things that I found that was kind of dramatic, especially when we're talking about libraries with revenues under $100,000, is their percentage of their total budget. And so, going back to the library that their annual revenue tax draw was $18,000. I mean, their share fee is a very significant portion of that. Whereas the larger libraries, like let's say libraries with over $1 million in revenue, it's 1.13% of their total budget. And there's not a perfect way to calculate, how much revenue. That was a big part of the conversation at our last town hall, of that some of the tax draw that's being calculated you can't use for share fees, for example. But that's just how we have determined of, numerating, using third-party data, I guess, when we're considering, so sorry, the IPLAR, that it's the column 8.1. So that's how we're calculating it, just basically to determine the size of your library and how that fee is calculated. And so trying to recognize that, to balance it out between what that minimum is for libraries at the lowest tiers, and then not, we couldn't say everybody pays 2% of their annual budget, because then to pick on O'Fallon Public Library, they're going to see a 4,000% increase of their annual fee, because those percentages are get they get very large very quickly. And so we don't want to price anybody out, either at the bottom end of the scale or the top end of the scale. And so that's we really we're just trying to balance everything out.
Okay, so that column should that FY24 budget, that should be just our property tax draw, is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
Okay, well, my
So
number is,
it's
I'm going to tell you my number is incorrect, because we definitely do not have $1 million in tax revenue.
okay. So it was what was reported 8.1 through 8.4 on the IPLAR. So let
Okay, I'll go
me,
back and look at it.
yeah, let me give you the exact number so you can take a look in what IPLAR that I'm looking at. So let me pull that up. Give me just one moment, okay? And if you think that there's an error that maybe that was reported incorrectly on your IPLAR, definitely let me know, because that does obviously impact your share fee as well. So we can maybe make some corrections if we need to. Let's see. So it was the 2022 IPLAR that was published in the fall. So Effingham Public Library, the 8.1 column, which is the local government column, reported $967,722. Then you had the per capita grant of $18,183. We also take into account the equalization aid grant, which not all libraries get that. There's only a handful, so you didn't have that. And then 8.4 is your personal property replacement tax, so that equaled out your total value that we used to calculate that.
I see. Okay, yeah, and we did get huge returns this last year. I have no idea why. Our PPRT was so high this year, but it was bizarrely high.
Well, that's sometimes a good thing, but I do know sometimes when it bumps your tiers, because you can see, and the one of the first libraries was, right around 459. You bump into another tier, and that really does change your share fee because of those algorithms. So that does have an impact, and so we try to work with libraries as much as possible when that happens. But that's why I always say just, reach out, because we can take a look, make sure everything's correct. We have had libraries that it was reported incorrectly, so we definitely just need to let me know if there's a concern like that. Did anybody else have any questions or comments after kind of getting my a little bit of information about the background on the proposals and seeing how that might play out for some libraries? Did anybody else have any? And of course, if you want to look at your library, there are explainers, as we call them, on the SHARE website under the Town Hall and Member Fee Increase article. And there's two. So Well, there's several. So one by library type, and you can just go alphabetically to look up your library. I also went ahead and put in by revenue for the public, so you can kind of see how that goes down with the algorithms and the percentage that you would pay. So you can kind of see how that plays out for different tiers of libraries.
Ryan, you can go ahead.
Thanks. So, Sandra, you mentioned that you're going to do the vote like in two phases, right? With like, we need to like, do we make this increase? And if we do make this increase, which formula do we use?
Yeah, if we can't, if we, the Share Finance and Policy Committee is still discussing this, but if we can't decide and we're going to put them both out for vote, I think that that's how we would do it.
Okay.
Because the bottom line is we, to continue our existing services as they are today, we would need to move forward with the revenue of $240,000 per year. For the more inclusive model, that would just be like the second question. Would you prefer to see it this alternative model versus our traditional model?
So what if the first question fails?
If the first question fails, then that is, we would go back to the drawing board. And at that point, we would probably start to have to make some very challenging decisions.
As far as cutting services so that we don't have to have increase.
Well, cutting services, we might start to consider utilizing reserve funds. I mean, I don't know what the answer would be, but
Okay.
we would definitely start to have some very difficult conversations about what to do.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, of course. And
We've
I
got to
see,
go
oh,
ahead.
I just see the comment from Deb that you really enjoy the Share Mobile app. That's wonderful, Deb. I'm so happy to hear that.
From Jenna, does the traditional model include the Share Mobile app, or is the Share Mobile app cost in addition to the model dollar amount listed?
Oh, Jenna, that's a great question. So that doesn't, the traditional model does include the base app. Anybody that signed up for a custom template, that would still be an additional fee because we have to pay the vendor separately for that. So it's not something that's just part of the overall comprehensive package. And so I think that depending on what type, I think it can range up to $750 per year. But that's something that the people who have that custom template are aware of. And I also want to point out that these are all for Aspen and Cloud Library. Cataloging fees will still remain a separate fee. Okay. I am not seeing any more comments coming through. Did anybody else want to speak or have any other questions? Okay. Well, I appreciate everyone coming today to go over this with us and just be involved in this process. If anybody has any questions after the meeting, you're more than welcome to reach out to me. If you just have a, you just want some additional data, you're more than welcome to send me an email. I'll be happy to provide that. If you'd like to chat about your specific circumstances a little bit more, again, I'm happy to do that with you. At our last town hall, the Share Finance and Policy Committee, someone mentioned that they are representatives for you. So if you know one of the committee members. And just to repeat that, that's Miranda Shake, Janet Claire, Esther Curry, Amanda Doherty, Betsy Mahoney, Jill Pfeiffer, and Diane Yeoman. You can reach out to them if if you know one of the those wonderful, wonderful people directly. You can just give them an email, or Miranda Shake is our chair, so you can reach out to her directly also. Okay. Well, I greatly appreciate everyone attending today. If I could have the Share Finance and Policy Committee hang on the call for just a little bit, we have just some things to discuss, and we've got a few more things to wrap up our meeting. Of course, anybody who's in the call today, if you'd like to stay and chat with us, as we chat, you're more than welcome to do so. But otherwise, I think we're finished with that Q&A portion. And so, again, thank you all for your input and just being here to review this with us. It's greatly appreciated. Okay, so I think that we did see Diane came through, so we do have a quorum at this point. But we don't have anything. I think I had mentioned that we don't have anything to like any action items on our agenda today, but we could certainly discuss just based on the three town halls that we've attended. You know, I think we got some really good feedback on and some suggestions. So just we don't have another meeting scheduled because of the ARSL conference. And so Jill had this great suggestion of just maybe talking it over of what our next steps might be and where we want to go from here.
Cassandra, on a separate note, the more I've thought about this, I know that the finance committee has worked really hard, and we've had a lot of people's libraries in our minds as we met those two times to try to figure out what the best solution is to move forward. The more I thought about that for me, it occurred to me, what's the most important thing right now to my patrons? And what's the biggest thing that I can give them? And access to all the other libraries through Share is what that is. So I have always done my budget where I determine the amount of my have-to-haves, and Share for me is a have-to-have. And then I made my reductions in those other places if I needed to. So I appreciate all of your hard work trying to navigate these last three meetings. It was insightful for what everyone had to say. And I think we all look at the bottom dollar amount, but I think there's another picture to look at as well.
Yeah, I think that we got some really great feedback and suggestions, and I appreciate the opportunity to share the bigger picture because it's sometimes hard when you're just sending out an email, and I know everybody's busy, but to actually have a conversation about it and not just, okay, this is the bottom line. These are the numbers. Like, why are we here? Why did this happen this way? What are we doing? What's our plan, you know, and to really have more of a conversation than just this is what it is. This is just really understanding and hoping that the member libraries understand that this is their consortium. It's not my consortium, it's their consortium, it's your consortium. So really understanding that.
Is there any possibility of going back to IHLS board with the comments, with the consensus, and maybe after the vote, maybe before the vote, I don't know, and seeing again if there's any more funds they may be willing to help us with?
I would be happy to talk to Leslie about that. I don't know the answer to that because based on some of the comments actually from I think it was yesterday's meeting, one of the things Rhonda and I had kind of briefly touched on was that IHLS is facing its own deficit. And so that's something that she has to be mindful of, and she's got the bigger picture for both sides, whereas I'm very focused just on the Share side. But I could certainly We are definitely going to go back to the IHLS Board of Trustees. That's something that trying to explain that, you know, they had said that they really wanted Aspen to be for everyone. And, you know, it's only $60,000. Well, it's $60,000, so we have to figure out how to pay for it. And I don't mean that to be flip with that, but it needs to be, if we are going to have it for everyone, we've got to figure out a way to make it equitable for everyone too. So, and I have explained that that's not necessarily the way that we have done things in the past, and that members will be the deciding factor. You know, they have to vote to move forward with a proposal, like a, that proposal like that. So, but yes, they have been very curious about Aspen in specifically, but they will want to know about this process as well and what the feedback we've gotten.
I will say that before this goes to a vote, I almost feel like we need to make an affirmative decision so that those voting know that they can stagger, like that if they're seeing a 35% increase, let's say, and that's the way the vote goes, that that option will be available to them, just, you know, stagger that increase. I know you said 2 years, but maybe it needs to be three. I don't know. I mean, there's a big concern, I think, about libraries with the larger increases ending up on the wrong side of this and what they're going to do, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I don't think what we want to see is, like, let's say this vote goes all inclusive and then you lose 30 libraries. That's a lot.
Right. Jill, the link, you know, with from the SHARE website where it's got the graphs of the cash flow going down and then the estimated revenue and expenses going up, you know, when you see it like that, I feel like our fees should be that way too. Like they need to be graduated 25, 26, 27, 28, and not just boom, you know, we need to make 240,000 because your little graph says, hey, we don't need to make 240,000 until FY28. I mean, that's what the graph looks like.
Right. So that is, and I think that that's something that the membership had kind of said. I mean, we're looking at, so that's 2.4 million, I think.
I can't read it. I'm reading that.
Because I was looking at that today, because we're trying to look at a 3-year cycle instead of just year by year, but that it would be nice to have a mechanism for increases. It's just, it's very difficult with those being based on percentages, because that would have to change every single year.
Yeah.
And so I had been thinking about that a lot today, especially after our meeting this morning, of what would be the mechanism to doing that. And that's something that Rhonda and I maybe can maybe, Rhonda, you're being volunteered for to maybe chat with me about this and what we might be able to do, because it's difficult coming to members to say, hey, we need more money, but it's based on a need. I think it's even more difficult to say, hey, we just need money because we just need more money. I mean, I can clearly show that there's a need, but to do those incremental increases when we're within our benchmarks, I mean, how would we have done that? We couldn't make that argument. Does that make sense?
And I,
Cassandra, what have the increases been historically, percentage-wise?
I think when we looked at 2019, I think if I remember properly, it was a average 12% increase when we did it last time.
That sounds familiar to me too. I was thinking 12 or 15, somewhere in there.
Yeah. And I think historically, just to remind, I think we're always doing 3 years at a time, at least, just to, you know, what's been, you know, communicated, I think, in the past back to SHARE when we're doing this, is that they'd like to know, you know, for 3 years out what their fees are going to be, or have an idea. So, you know, not changing was a good thing. Of course, if we showed this and published, you know, that this was going to be an X percentage each year, they would know that, you know, libraries would know that too, to plan and forecast on their own. So I don't think that would be an issue either, but it's, I did like the idea of, you know, maybe a percentage cap too. You know, yesterday, I think in the meeting, it was brought up, you know, for those very high percentages, and maybe that's absorbed, you know, by the operating cash for a while, you know, or something. If it was extreme, you know, we have some kind of cap there at 25% or some, you know, something to where it's not, I don't know, or even less. But I'm just trying to think of ideas too. And yes, Cassie, we can meet and talk about what that looks like and maybe some options when we meet again, have that ready for the November meeting to look at.
Yeah, that would be good.
I mean, is it less money going into the reserve fund, more money going towards this? I know there is, I mean, the reason I say that is because now we're seeing those better gains. You know, mm-hmm. and those, and I realize IMRF that, I mean, not IMRF, but all my funds can change, you know, that mm-hmm. could go wherever, but, you know, because the other part I think about asking the IHLS board for more money, I almost want to know, like, let's just say we ask them for another 50,000. Well, that may not impact this all that greatly for those libraries of most concern, you know, mm-hmm. You know, they may go from 31 to 29 still, that you know, that may be insignificant, you know, for them to sway them, you know, so I kind of want to know what that impact would be based on what it is we're asking for, you know, and like mm-hmm. you said, IHLS having their own deficit issues is another thing.
Yeah, and we could, I mean, you know, this year's budget of course has been done, but you know, this is the time we need to be thinking about the future budget come July 1 and in the spring when we're presenting that to the board. So I think when we raised that 50,000, before we were at about a 9% of our system area per capita that we were contributing to share. So when we got the additional amount granted to us after the 2020 census, we upped it to make it 9%, yeah, you know, around that 9% mark again. So that was kind of the logic behind that amount and what that increase was.
Yeah.
I do tend to agree with everything that everyone has said and that I've heard. I think we've all worked very hard to try and find a solution. I don't think there is a great solution for any one of us. I do worry a little bit if we go and look at what's in our reserve fund, what's there. I fear that we are somewhat just kicking the can down the road. But I do think we also owe our membership that if this does not pass, here are some of the things we're going to look at losing. And I think they need to know that up front, because otherwise I think it's going to be way too easy for them to say, well, we can say no, and then we're done. And they need to know what's at stake with what they lose, and not as a threat, just as a reality.
I'll also add one other thing. I know if it is the all-inclusive model, we haven't tackled the issue of the crowd library fees. So that's, I guess, another expense not reflected, right? Is that fair to say? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of difficult because now people may find themselves more in the all-inclusive area, but not knowing, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, the traditional model would include the cloud library fees for fiscal 2025 based on the conversations we had to the new scale. So it's not the fiscal 24 scale.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good, good, good.
And did everybody see that at the meeting earlier today that only of the 200, oh gosh, I'm not going to remember the exact number, 233 locations, only 39 libraries don't participate in Cloud Library? 38 and 222. Thank you, Jace. So in a lot of ways, Cloud Library is fairly inclusive for most of our public libraries. I know our school libraries, it's a little bit of a different story.
I think my really big takeaway is that there's a lot of people who really feel like Aspen is kind of being forced on them and they're not responding to that well. Not that they should, but that they feel like there was a lot of talk about it. We had a lot of meetings about it. We had, you know, video about it. We gave you this option to join. We asked you, you did. Then you other people didn't. And now all of a sudden it's like, that's kind of the part that I think is maybe hitting people wrong. You know, like, no, we said we didn't want it. And now you're telling me that I might end up with it anyway. Or not, you know. Yeah, that's hitting people not well.
Cassandra, I don't know the answer to this, but is part of the problem just from an educational standpoint? So when I look at the names of people, these are names I don't know. So are they relatively new and maybe don't know that historically the fees go up every 3 years and that it, you know, do they just not know the back stories or they're so busy taking care of their libraries that they're not really engaged maybe in the financial piece of share? I don't know the answer to that. It's just a question.
That is possible. There have been, and maybe because, and I hate to say this, but maybe because it has been so long that we've raised fees. I mean, I've gotten a sense for some of the comments, not necessarily during the town halls, but just informal conversations that they were surprised that share fees would raise. I think that's just a reality, you know, and where, it'd be kind of interesting to see, you know, how libraries' revenues have increased. I mean, over the last 4 years, what percentage have they gotten in increase in a tax draw? And I know, Janet, you're a perfect example. You're in tax cap, so you don't necessarily see large increases, but that's something to think about, you know, how has your revenue increased year to year? Having the scale based on percentages is helpful because ours fluctuate with yours, essentially. But it's just been an unusual couple of years between COVID and the other, like the different expenditures just being, the inflation being so high, you know. So.
Cassandra, this is Dina. I just wonder if it's maybe a timing issue. We're introducing Aspen, that's a cost, and then the cost of the fee increases. It just is kind of hitting people all at once, maybe. And I'm sure there's probably some that said no to Aspen because of the additional cost, which, you know, I completely understand. You know, budgets are tight for everyone. And then right on top of that, then we start introducing the fee increases, but it can't be helped. And I kind of feel like, you know, fees have gone up everywhere. You know, I was helping someone earlier looking at the cost of a barcode scanner compared to the last time I looked it up for someone. I mean, even, you know, like things like that have gone up. It's just the kind of the price of doing business these days. Fees are increasing. Everything's going up.
And not to be flip, but, you know, like you go to lunch at, you know, Taco Bell and like, how did a burrito suddenly become $400? Because it's like, it just, you remember $79.89.99, like what happened here? I'm paying like $20 for Taco Bell. And so I'm sorry that is a little bit flip, but it is, It
It's
is
true.
very, the
It's
last couple
true.
of
That's
years have been very rough.
yeah, that's just, our lives these days is, cost is going up.
Sandra, is there any way to show them where this deficit is coming from? That I guess one of the comments that I have heard is, you went along for 4 years and now all of a sudden you have this huge deficit. Where did it come from?
Well, maybe I should have jumped in there too, because, we planned for 3 years. We gave an extra year. We knew at the fourth year we needed to do something, but we did absorb, the deficit by using that buildup of the operating reserves that were kind of teetering over 6 months on. So, I think we thought we were doing, the libraries a favor by holding that for another year, but it feels like, ooh, because we didn't need to. I mean, why raise rates if you don't need to and you had the money to sustain? Now, it's quickly building and multiplying this deficit. So it is, just something we've got to address, but and maybe that's the where the education piece that people don't realize to that information.
And I think you're right, Rhonda. I don't think they realized that there was a small buildup over a period of time that became a larger buildup, and we just didn't want to hoard their money. So, but I don't think they're aware of that. And you're right. It probably came as a huge shock to them, which, I mean, I think it's a shock to all of us how it played out, because that's not what any of us intended.
No.
Right.
And I
Well, and I
think
think
also,
that's.
go ahead, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that's where it's also, like I said, it's kind of difficult. One of the things, okay, $240,000 sounds like a lot of freaking money, right? Rhonda, what is our monthly?
Sure, I can bring that up real quick.
I mean,
So
that's 1 month of expenses for us.
for the
I mean,
current
maybe not 1 month,
fiscal
but.
year, we are running an average of, so Share is running an average this year of approximately $181,130.83 per month based on its budgeted expenses. So that's just divided out by 12. And that's how we compute, your right now, we have 10.3 months of operating cash is what I'm reporting to the board this month. And I'm sorry, I must have missed, we didn't have, we're not having a meeting with you all this month, so I could have sent out financials, and if you want me to, I still can for this month like I normally do. But right now the operating cash can, but we've also collected a lot right off the bat whenever we build out this year, so it was really great collections. So, right now at the end of August, you're already going 0.3 months in month into next fiscal year, So we don't have a lot to bill out still now for the end of the year, but we still have some, and we still have some receivables outstanding from the major bill out. So, that it cash is going to extend, and then you'll have the contribution from IHLS towards the end of the year. So, I don't know what that's going to look like. I did tell Cassie the other day that we never had to move that $1 million out of Illinois funds. That's the operating cash, because the timing of when we about needed it was when IHLS moved the contribution over to Share. So that sustained Share's expenses into July. And then we started getting money back, right? I thought I was going to have to transfer in July. We started getting money returned really quickly from the billing. I didn't, and I still don't. So that money is still in Illinois funds earning over 5.4% interest. So that's going into your reserve buildup. But you did have a big payout of 380 something thousand for the Share server project this month for that. So that decreased your reserve fund balance to $924,098.03. So, you were building up there on where you were hitting your threshold, I think, of where you wanted to be in the reserve fund. So now we're below that again. And at the end of this month, you will, yeah, we'll transfer over the 142.5. We usually wait till the audit's finished. So I will transfer that at the end of this month for shares reserve fund from that. But, you know, that'll bring you up to a little over a million, you know, six, wherever we're at, 60,000 or something. So, you know, you will be back over $1 million in the reserve fund, but it did get hit pretty hard already. And we did pay the share or the Aspen implementation fees too. So, you know, I think all we have left to take out of the share reserve is that last year of SOLAS expenses. And then that's it for this fiscal year, but you'll probably earn that in interest, you know, so that will probably cover it. But that's where you're at right now, as far as cash as at the end of August.
Rhonda, what is the income from the interest on that reserve fund for 1 month?
So we're getting, let me bring that up too. I was thinking that one's a little over 10, but let me look at this real quick. Yeah, it's a little over 10,000 right now. So right now, on the statement of activities, it's showing interest to date is $20,845.37. Now, a small amount of that is your checking amount for operating fund, but not much, you know, maybe $120 or something like that. Not a whole lot. So most of that $20,800 is your share in just 2 months, your share reserve interest in just 2 months at Illinois Funds.
And do you have a cumulative total on what those funds have brought in an interest since you moved them over to Illinois Funds?
I don't, but I could find that out. I don't know if we did a spreadsheet on that interest last year or not. Let me take a look real quick. Because I would say it's about half, you know, because there was about a million, you know, the reserve fund and about, you know, a million of the operating cash. So it just to estimate it, you could take that and divide it into half and you could probably get a good idea. Unfortunately, I'm not seeing a breakout there of what that was, but I can tell you what we did earn in interest total last year for the investment income for share was $80,348.88. So probably 80,000 of that was share Illinois funds, reserve fund amount. You know, we don't earn much interest that we hold the other, just the operating cash, what's left just for operating what we need in US Bank at a checking account. So we have 80,000, you know, probably is the majority of that is Illinois funds. And I don't remember when we moved that. Was that in the fall of last year? Does anybody recall? I'm like, I feel like, has it just been less than a year?
It was around the time I started because it was kind of around the time that I started taking the meeting minutes and stuff. So okay. I want to say like September, maybe.
That's
maybe
what
August.
I was thinking. It probably was somewhere in that, you know, meeting in July. And I can look in our, actually, I think we have a cash transfer log. I can find that real quick too.
I just know that for us, as a result of hearing you talk about it, I went to my board and we moved money into Illinois funds mm-hmm. that we had in our savings account because we were getting $26 a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my statement last month was $1,300. That's an employee position.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is. For me. You know, it's amazing what it's right. done. You know, and I'm glad to hear that for you, mm-hmm. you know, and they agreed to that because it's amazing. Yeah. We transferred in end of September last year. So, you know, we looked at 9 months, probably earning 10, you know, not 10,000 because it probably wasn't that, but it probably could have been close to, you know, four maybe that might have earned, you know, so you might have been at, you know, $40,000, you know, close to that, you know. Of course, the interest rate was lower, you know, and built up, but, you know, it probably was close to half of that 80,000, or not, probably 40%, 35%, you know, maybe. So, I mean, it's definitely given it probably 30,000 boost, you know, of that money, 30 to 35,000.
I know this is something we really have to think long and hard about, and I think we are, but, you know, maybe for next year, we need to help with some of this interest. I mean, we've already decided we don't want to leave Polaris. So, you know, right away anyway, we don't exactly need 1+ million right now. You know, maybe we should try to touch some of that so that we can help some of these libraries. And then in 26, they know, okay, it's still going to go up. I don't know how much.
That's a really interesting idea. If we put a cap on it, pull the remainder, like for a 1 year grace, and then it would be their, that would be their fee for the following year of maybe pulling that money from reserve instead of just trying to absorb the deficit, or just kind of keeping an eye on it of like, okay, well, we know that would have equaled out to just throwing a number, that would have equaled out to $75,000. So at the end of the year, you know, and kind of do that forecast again, that we could pull out $75,000 because of that cap from reserve. So that we can, so that's maybe something instead of trying to figure out how that would affect the following years, the deficits.
Would the members have to vote on us pulling money out of reserve, or are we allowed to do that without a member vote? I don't know.
I think for full transparency's sake, we should probably put that up for a vote.
Green, I've literally been sitting here thinking the same thing. Like, why don't we just pull some money out of there?
Well, and that's why we had the benchmark specifically for that. So let me go back to those benchmarks that we set.
Yeah, because I think we're under that benchmark. But of course, I think you're going to be over the benchmark, you know, for the operating cash. And that's where we have, you know, probably $500,000+ extra there right now of 6 months, you know, supply. You know, if you did three of that, say we want to keep three. Well, if it's running 180,000 approximately a month, you know, you're looking at, if you took 3 months of that out, 540,000.
So with that,
absorbed it.
But with that benchmark, Rhonda, that benchmark was for the end of the year, right? Because we know at the beginning of the year, it will be over the 6 months, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at the end of the year, you were over 6 months. I think when I reported in July for, you know, you were right over 6 months of that cash. And we,
yeah, I think that's where we had talked about, okay, well, do we, you know, do we hold the line for one more year, knowing, but it was, and I'm glad that we didn't, you know, we were like, okay, no, we just need to pull the Band-Aid off because it's going to be difficult. We knew it was going to be difficult. And I'm glad we didn't, especially getting the feedback that we've gotten today of like, you know, why haven't you been increasing, which I didn't expect that, you know, but it would actually be nice. And again, this is something that I want to talk with you internally a little bit more about, of like a mechanism of just to have a way to manage this a little bit easier. And when I say that, like, okay, that we could trigger a 10% increase in fees, or automatically, that we wouldn't have to necessarily go through like revising the scales every time. And the reason I say that is because, you know, this has been, it's going to start to finish is going to be almost 2 years that this process takes between going through committees, reviewing the proposals, sending it out for review. So we don't necessarily move quickly when we do this type of work.
And maybe, you know, libraries need to understand that too, because it's a huge process. So if we, I mean, it's okay if we wanted to like stagger now for the future, but you know, so much can change. So you don't want to just put yourself out there for 5 years. You know, 3 years is a decent time to kind of lock in, you know, on both sides, I feel like, you know, for share and for the libraries. But it is such a huge process to change fees, you know, by what you have to do in order to do that. So
let me just ask a quick question. So let's just say we end up pulling some money out of this reserve fund. Are we just going to apply it equitably across the board, or are we going to focus it on those libraries that are 500,000 and up, because we specifically focus it, you know, we made a specific point of trying to lessen the burden for these, you know, libraries under a certain threshold. You know, are we doing the same on the other side?
I wonder, because I was thinking if we put in a cap, it would be that amount would be for those that were impacted by the larger jumps.
Okay.
Just overall.
I think it's great, because that's where the greater, that's obviously where you're hearing the most vocal concern, and you should.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
But also, Cassandra, I think we need to take into consideration, like you said before, it's not just who had the largest fee increase, but when you look at it as a percentage of their whole budget, there are people that are going to hurt a whole lot more than some of these people that had maybe a $10,000 increase, but have a $500,000 budget. Because I'm not always the proponent of the smallest library, but you know, when you look at $18,000 and having a $200 or $300 jump, it is a substantial amount more than the library that has the $500,000. And yes, I tend to be on the side of the large library, because we don't ever want them to leave. They contribute an awful lot, not just monetarily, but collection wise to us. So I think we have to find that balance of both.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I know we talked a lot in the meeting about doing a vote like all at once for the fee scale. You know, that we need the increase. That's question one. Question two, do we want this all inclusive? And I know we're not going to make any decisions today, but I kind of wonder if we really still need to know which way to go before we even get to a vote. What do you all think? Because I've left these town halls and I don't have a clear sense of which way we're going.
I really don't.
I have a clear sense of, we really don't like this huge increase.
That was clear.
Models. Yeah. But, you know, I think we all feel that way, even sitting on the committee. We really don't like these huge increases, but we realize, having seen it and gone through it and looked at, could we do this? Could we do that? What about this? What about that? We have a better picture of, it's just got to happen. But I almost go back to what you said. It's not ours. It is theirs. They should decide which way they want it to go.
I wish we could just ask the people that came to the town halls, though.
I was surprised at how well attended they were, because usually most things are not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like, you know, the three times, the 2 days, whatever. I think that worked really well. I mean, I don't know that who didn't get to come because they were so busy, but.
I feel like the all-inclusive is where the big question is for everybody. You know, if you'd have just gone to them with an increase on how we've always done it, I don't know that we would have had all the questions that came about, because I think Aspen is the piece of the pile there too. So,
yeah. I could always send it back out. You know, I sent out that like, hey, we're just trying to gauge the temperature of what you want, but we didn't have the data at that point. Now that I do have the data, I could resend that email to everybody. Which direction do you want to go? And it would be informal. Of course, it wouldn't be our vote. But it would just be, again, gathering that member comment. And it would be easier on my end when we put it out for vote. This is what we are going to do. is either going to be the traditional model or it's going to be the inclusive model. So that's something to consider. If that would be helpful, I'd be happy to do that. If you think that that might be a good idea.
I feel like
that's... Would you just ask the people that attended the town hall, since they had the most explanation given to them, just what they, and see how close that is? I mean, you may need to go to absolutely everybody to figure it out.
I think I would they have to.
Yeah, I think the people in the town hall right now have the most buy-in, though, because they do care. They want to know. They're concerned. The others, I think they're just going to vote, you know, no, I don't like the increase, or, you know, it's not going to be a fully understood answer that you'll get from them always.
Yeah, that's kind
of. Or they'll just delete your email.
Well, right. If they even read our email. Yeah.
I'm most concerned about our schools. And the reason I say that is because we only had, I saw one for sure. I knew it was a school librarian. I didn't see any other names I recognized. I kind of feel like that is a group that is very difficult to reach sometimes. But for the comments I got from that town hall meeting and a comment I got via email, they were saying we need to hold the line on fees. And so they were very concerned about fee increases that their administrators would not approve it. And I don't know the reality of that, because their administrators also have to understand that fee increases are happening everywhere, I would think. But if it's coming from their budget directly versus just this is what you pay for this service, you know, somebody said that's dropping EBSCO databases, you know, and that maybe that could work with the new Secretary of State proposal, but who knows when that's going to come. So I know that they're working on an RFP, but that I don't want to guarantee that for anybody and have to make that choice.
Yeah, but like Janet said, you know, we all have to make choices and we have to look at what is most important. I know for me, every decision I make is based on all those people who walk through my door and use my services. How do I best serve them? And I know if I told them, hey, we have to give up Polaris and go back to checking out books, they would revolt. So for me, there is no choice. I will never let go of our ILS. And I probably would have a very hard time letting go of Share as a whole, because it does such a good thing for all of us to be able to see the massive amount of information that's in there that you have access to.
But I get concerned about sending an email to just those people who were town hall and then basing the structure of the question to the membership on, you're basing it on incomplete data. You know what I mean? You asked a subset of people and then you use that to inform a vote that went out to maybe three times as many people as you asked. And that, I don't think it's great.
So it is, I could add a question. Did you attend the town hall? Yes or no? And we could kind of see how people responded based on that.
That's a good point. Or watch the recording, because there may be people who watch the
good
recording.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good point.
When will the recording be available? Like,
probably next week.
Okay.
Yeah, and we'll send that out to let everybody know that it is available.
Well, maybe the survey could go with that email with the recording link, maybe, if possible.
So which town hall would we want? I'm thinking yesterday's.
I think in terms of length too, that one was a little bit shorter, so it might be easier for some people to watch.
Yeah. I have to talk to our marketing department, because they don't like us sending emails of videos, but maybe the email will just say the recording is now available, because we had some concern with that with fairly recently. So, okay. Thank you all for sticking around just a little bit longer so we could kind of discuss our initial thoughts. Again, I know we don't really have a decision ready, but we will have some good information as we plan our next meeting, which our next meeting will be, let me get that date.
November 15th? I don't know why that sticks in my brain.
Yes, that's correct.
Yep, you are good. Okay, so that will be 10 a.m. November 15th. I just want to take a minute for all of you who outside the committee who stayed to listen in. Thank you very much for joining us in this conversation today. And just reiterate, if you have any questions and need to reach out to anybody on the committee or to me if you want some more data or if you'd like to chat, I am more than more than happy to do so. So we can go ahead and, unless anybody has any final additional comments. Okay, and any other new business? Any public comment? Or any announcements? Okay, Miranda, I'll turn it back over to you.
Sure. We'll adjourn at 3:43 p.m.
Okay. Thank you again, everybody. Thank you for hanging in there this week. I know it was a long meeting week, so I appreciate it.